Good evening. Welcome to each of you this evening. Tonight's lesson is titled, One Another, One Another. And a little bit later, I'm going to ask for some audience participation, and all you have to do is say, One Another. Just those two words. But we're going to see saying them a lot. So watch for my cues. When we get there, I'll let you know. Maybe you've heard some people comment. Lucy and Peanut said, I love humanity as people I can't stand. Maybe you felt that way sometimes. Or sometimes men talk about the ladies, can't live with them, can't live without them. Or the women say of the men, brain of a frog and heart of a toad. That's one I hadn't heard for a while. Maybe you have. Or maybe you know men are from Mars and women are from Venus. Or speaking of body of Christ, maybe you've heard this one. Oh, live up above with the saints in love. That will be glory. But to live here below with the saints that I know, that's a different story. The fact is, relationships are challenging in our lives, aren't they? We are challenged by relationships. That's one of the hardest parts of life, is getting our relationships figured out. And we never get them done totally. We're always a work in progress, aren't we? Tonight we're going to take a look at some scripture that talk about one another relationships and how we grow in those relationships and live in those relationships. The most difficult part of life is the people business. We're similar, we're all human, but we are wired differently. Have you noticed that? And it's not just the difference between men and women. It's differences between old and young and different cultures and all that sort of thing. We are different, but yet God has called us to be one body in Christ. Amen? One body in Christ. Paul said it this way to the Galatians. There's neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male or female, for you're one in Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean that we lose our ethnic background and identity when we become a Christian. It doesn't mean we lose our gender differences when we become a Christian. What it does mean is we're all part of one body in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul is saying. In the church, God has brought together different genders, different social classes, different ethnic groups, but yet we're all one body in Jesus. Why would God do this? Well, after all, that makes it life hard, because you've got to live with people who are different from you are in some way, right? Our God is not a sadist. He's not trying to make life tough for us. Our God wants something so special in the church. He's willing to put us together in one another relationships with people that are different from us for our good. Maybe you remember, when I first came here, I taught a class on the book Sacred Marriage. And in that class, there was a little statement. It's not original with me. It was with the author of the book. And the statement is this: maybe God created marriage not just to make us happy, but to make us holy. The gender differences are real. And sometimes that brings some strain in relationships and marriage. But that's not the only strain that strains in marriage. Maybe God is using marriage as a tool to help us mature in our spirits on the inside, to make us a holier person. Marriage is not just for our happiness. It does bring us happiness, but it's a serendipity. It kind of sneaks through the back door and surprises us. The differences bring us challenges. The serendipity of happiness comes as we begin to surmount those challenges. So Christ has brought us together in one body. Why didn't God say, I'm going to make a Jewish church over here and there's going to be a Gentile church over here? Or there's going to be a ladies' church over here and a men's church over here? I read about a cowboy church in Wyoming. Can you believe that? It's a church just for cowboys. I guess you got to have spurs to get in the door. I don't know. But it's just a church just for cowboys, so the cowboys can do cowboy things in church. Well, you know, the Lord has called us to be bigger than that. He's called us to get together with our differences because of His higher purposes in forming us in one body. I like the way Virginia Satir has said this, and you've heard it from me before. I'll say it one more time. People are broken, and by people, we are put back together again. By people, we're broken, and by people, we're put back together again. Relationships can break us, But relationships can also heal us, right? God has seen fit within the body of Christ to call us together in relationship with others that are different from us, not to break us, but to heal us. We come with brokenness, and sometimes we're broken by relationships. Some of you have been broken by marriages that didn't go as you planned. You've broken by families who have disappointed you. You've been broken in church relationships by brothers and sisters in Christ who may not have treated you as a Christian. We've experienced brokenness. But the irony is God has said even in our brokenness, we can become healed by relationships. The tendency, you see, is when I've been broken in a relationship, okay, I'm going to get away from people. I'm going to be a hermit now. I'm just going to do life on my own. I don't want to be hurt again, so I'm just going to withdraw from a family, from marriage, from a church, from a workplace, or wherever we have been caused pain. God says, no, I want you to go back into that relationship and you will find healing in relationships with others. It may not be that the marriage is healed. It may not be that the family becomes more functional than dysfunctional. But what it does mean is God has called us not to give up on relationships, because relationships are the tool that not only break us and hurt us, but they're the tool that can break us whole again. Centuries ago, many spiritual men and women chose to withdraw from life, and often from each other, in search of a spiritual life in monasteries and convents. And each man or woman was assigned a cell that was like a small room. Well, I guess they're not the first one with a cell plan, but that's close to it. They had a plan to go into their cell and be by themselves. And they thought they could become spiritual people by isolating themselves from community. Brothers and sisters, that doesn't work. We need the community to make us whole. We're not designed to be holy hermits in individual cells and never talk to anyone else. God has designed us for a community that builds our spiritual life. We're going to talk about that tonight. Spiritual growth comes through spiritual community. It is through our corporate worship that we begin relationships that are deepened in personal conversations and are deepened in smaller group settings like care groups. Meaningful relationships begin to progress beyond what I call the Sunday morning fellowship level. Hi, how are you doing? Good to see you. You know, bye-bye. Over time, as we get to know people. But is the Bible really that intent on us building proper relationships within the church? Is it really that important? Is it really a priority in Scripture, or is this just Mark talking? I suggest you listen to the following 36 passages from the New Testament. Now, I'm going to violate a rule here that I normally do not do in public speaking. Normally, I do not give you 36 scripture references in a row. And you'll be glad to know these will not be on the test. There will be two words on the test. And those two words are one another. And each time when I give a quote from a verse, I'm going to pause and I'll point a little bit. And I would like you to say one another. I'd like you to see how common this theme is. John 12:31, a new command I give you, love. John 12:35, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, if you love. Romans 12:10, be devoted to in brotherly love. Romans 12:10, honor above yourselves. Romans 12:16, live in harmony with. Romans 13:8, the continuing debt to love. Romans 12:8, stop passing judgment on. Romans 15:8, accept. Romans 15:14, you are competent to instruct. Romans 16:16, greet. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10, agree with. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 20, greet. Galatians 5:13, serve. Ephesians 4:12, be patient, bearing with. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to. Ephesians 5:19, speak to. In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Ephesians 5:21, be subject to. Colossians 3:13, forgive. Colossians 3:16, admonish with all wisdom. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, encourage. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, spur on to love and good deeds. Hebrews 10, 25, encouraging. James chapter 4 and verse 11, do not slander. 1 Peter 1, 22, love deeply. 1 Peter 3, 8, live in harmony with. 1 Peter 4, 9, offer hospitality to. 1 Peter 5, 5, clothe yourself with humility toward. 1 Peter 5:14, greet. 1 John 1:7, we have fellowship with. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 11, we should love. Your days are doing good. Just a few more to go. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 23, we should love as He commanded. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7, let us love. 1 John 4:11, we ought to love. 1 John 4:12, if we love, God lives in us. And 2 John 5, I ask that we love one another. Love one another. Y'all did pretty good with that. It's nice to only have two words fill in the blank, isn't it? Well, you know, there are 36 one another passages in the New Testament. Do you think that tells us something? God wants us in relationship with each other. Now, there are many other passages that talk about personal relationships without using the one another terminology in Scripture. But we see very clearly here the theme of one another within Scripture. And the church is God's laboratory for individual spiritual growth. He grows us through each other as well as through His Word, through worship, through prayer, through His Spirit. But it's the relationships that also grow us, right? And we grow in life skills through each other. The church is an extended family. We have been made to be together as one another. Now, this emphasis on healthy relationships with each other shouldn't surprise us. Think of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, together from all eternity in relationship with each other, in a perfect relationship that you and I cannot mirror perfectly, right? We're not divine, we're not perfect, and sometimes when we get together, it's kind of like a reunion at a porcupine convention. If we get a little close, we needle each other. So I realize that our relationships are not going to be perfect, but they can be healthy, and they can be helpful. And when we do that, what we're doing is echoing the Godhead in relationship with others as God has been in relationship with Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for eternity. My point is, we are made for community by one who Himself is in community with Himself. But we have this love-hate relationship with community. And the reason is what Virginia Satir said, it's by people we are broken. So we say, how can I be healed in an atmosphere where I was broken? I don't want to go back and be broken again. I don't want to go back and be hurt again. I don't want to be frustrated again. I do not want to experience these negative emotions that I've experienced in a relationship gone bad. Because we've been broken in and by community, in marriage, in family, and in the church. And it's real easy to, like a tortoise in a shell, just withdraw and say, I'm going to be by myself. It's just going to be me and the Lord, and we'll be all right, but I can't handle other people. I've heard people tell me that. And I say, tell me where you find that in the Bible. Where's the tortoise passage in Scripture? No, it's not there. God has not taught us to withdraw from pain. He has taught us to engage with healthier people that will help us grow and overcome the pain of the hurts and the disappointments and the frustrations. Because remember Satir's statement, it's not only by people we're broken, but by people we are put back together again. Now, there's no perfect church, and there's no perfect community. You remember, though, Paul told the Romans in Romans 14:15, you are competent to instruct one another or counsel one another. God has called imperfect people like you to me into a spiritual community for healing, for relationships, to heal us, to help us. The church is God's plan to put hurting people together to make them healthier again, just like God's plan is for a family to be together. Have some families been dysfunctional? Yes. Have some churches been dysfunctional? Yes. Does that mean we throw away the family? No. Does it mean we throw away the church? Absolutely not. God means for us to use each other as a laboratory experience in the church, not to be hermits, not to be tortoise people, withdraw within ourselves, but to be in healthy relationships with others and find Christian healing. Now here's a key, and you've already got the one another down really good. This next statement's a little longer. You may not remember every word, but it's important. So I'm going to pause and go slowly. It is by my involvement in the lives of others that I begin to move the spotlight of consciousness off of myself and onto others. You see, as long as I put up walls with other people, walls bring safety, but walls don't bring healing. It's when I involve myself with other people that I begin to have a more holistic view, and the spotlight of my consciousness comes off of me, and I quit thinking about my problems and my difficulties and my hurts and my pains and my disappointments, and I begin to realize that there's a bigger picture to see here. So it's in my involvement in the lives of others that begins to focus me from off of Mark onto a bigger picture. And that bigger picture brings spiritual health. We grow inside by reaching to the outside. Yes, it's natural to look after our own interest, and God has designed us to look after our own interest. But He's also designed us to be interested in the needs of others. Listen to what Philippians 2:4 says. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Did you catch that? If I become a self-centered person, I'm just looking after, number one, myself. What's that do to my spirit? It shrivels it up, doesn't it? And it don't find healing there. I find my healing by reaching out to someone else. Isolation feeds introspection, navel gazing. Community reflects concern and interest for others. Jesus said, whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know that passage, Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, don't you? God meant for us to do life together because it brings healing. We find our lives by losing it in Him, and that in Him means with each other. Healthy relationships are an essential tool for spiritual growth. We grow inside by growing together as a body of Christ in love. Our youth have been at Sierra Bible Camp this last week. They grew on the inside spiritually, but they did so by connecting with others in relationships, in classes and activities and devotionals, and maybe a prank or two on the side. I don't know. I wasn't there. In 4 weeks, we're going to have our vacation Bible school. Yes, we want to use this as an outreach opportunity in VBS, but it's also an inreach opportunity to help us grow together in a spirit of love as we serve each other, even as we reach out to others. And then August 12th through 15th, Keith Parker will be with us in a gospel meeting, revival meeting, whatever you want to call it. And while we're definitely in an outreach mode, we're going to be growing together by working together in these activities. These are not one-man shows. We work together, and by working together, we strengthen our relationships as well as accomplish some important tasks. So God wills that we build a strong, holy, one-another relationship with other Christian believers. That's why we have churches. That's one reason we need the church, among many. We grow on the inside by reaching to others on the outside. Because as Virginia Satir said, by people we're broken, yes. But ironically, it's by people we're put back together again. God wills for that to happen in the church. A motto of a church I served in Washington was, we want to be a place where faith and friends are found. We want it to be a place where vertical relationship with God matters, faith matters. But we also want it to be a place where friendships, where relationships were enriched. When people come to church, they're looking for both. They're looking for a relationship with God that endures, that sustains them. But they're also looking for fellowship. They're looking for friendship, faith and friends. We might talk about the vertical relationship with God and the horizontal relationship with each other, where faith and friends are found. Let me share with you some church math. Notice the math terms. The Lord is the common denominator that allows us to add our lives together and subtract the sin and the pain that hurts us so we can multiply God's love and divide ourselves from the overwhelming power of the evil one. Now that's church math, isn't it? It's mathematically true. Did that pass sixth grade math? Pretty close to it. Okay. All right, pretty close to it. The church is both a spiritual and social organization created by the mind of God. If we lose sight of either the spiritual, vertical dimension or the horizontal dimension of relationships, we're missing something in the equation. And that's why one another matters. It's the horizontal side. But the horizontal side enriches the vertical, just as the vertical enriches the horizontal. My point is, you can't be right with God while you're wrong with your brother and sister in Christ. That's why we have to forgive, that God will forgive us. No, living in relationships is not always easy, but it's healthy and it heals. I'd like to close with a reading of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 19 through 21. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, "I love God," yet hates his brother, he's a liar. For anyone who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And he has given us this command: whoever loves God must also love his brother. It's a package deal. Relationship with God, relationship with each other. You can't just do church alone, can you? I need you. And believe it or not, you need me. And we need to be in relationship with the Lord. One another relationships. 36 passages in the New Testament mention one another, and so many more by principle. The test is not knowing where all those places were. The test is remembering two words: one another. Church is about each other as well as about our God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your wisdom in building for us the body of Christ, that we come together as one, not because we're the same, but because we're different, but yet we're the same in our love for you. Help us to grow in our love for each other and our love for you, Lord, that we put you first. And Father, that we put each other first too, that we see the importance of building relationship and honoring each other and respecting each other. Father, help us to grow in all well-rounded relationships. Lord, we acknowledge that you are glorious. And one small way in which you're glorious is how you love each member of the Godhead. How, Father, you work in perfect harmony. In our weakness and sinfulness, Father, help us in some way to emulate your glory in strong, healthy relationship. In Jesus we pray. Amen. Tonight we want to close with the Lord's invitation. If you need to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, be baptized into him. If you want the prayers of this body, we want to help you be right with God so we can be right with one another. Let's stand together and sing.